This episode of Film Sack is brought to you by Totally Awesome Films, a podcast by one of the longtime fans of Film Sack, John Chung. He's been a fan since 2010. That's Totally Awesome Films, available on Apple Podcasts, Android, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's said that the West was built on legends, tall tales that help us make sense of things too great or too terrifying to believe. This is the legend of the Ghost Rider.
My name is Legion.
This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Film Sack, episode 452 of Film Sack, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind.
Mining the derps.
Like watching a kid bicycle down a hill and their front wheel starts to wobble and then they just totally
stop. They're just going, Oh, that's that is so scary when you're the kid on the bike, isn't it?
Oh, totally.
Terrifying. Yeah. Anyway, welcome to episode 452. I'm Scott Johnson. Joining me today, Brian Peter Fonda is fond of him Dunaway.
Oh, I didn't know this information. Mm. And it's so close to Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Might get him something. Oh, hi. Listen, as a fellow bounty hunter of souls and burning skull brother, are you thinking what I'm thinking? Yeah. Bonehead road trip. High five. All right, so I've plugged the route into the GPS of the damned, and it says hell on earth is a mere 666 miles from here. I thought we were already in Texas. Anywho, flame on! Oh, mustache fire! I'm good. Let's roll. All right. So I was thinking, when we get there, we should stick to the shadows, because you will face off with some demons, and as we all know, demons are notoriously night blind. That's not true. So we should flame off when we get there. But heads up, I can't flame on again because I flamed on for the last time for this boneheaded road trip. What's that? Why didn't I just ride with you and save my final flame on to help you fight the demons instead? Well, that would have been smart. But we don't have the budget for smart around here. Nope. I don't want any jellies. Now get off your handlebars. No, that is not how legends are born. I should have just stayed home and tended my cemetery.
All right.
That's amazing.
So much to unpack.
There is. If you didn't see it, you're going to wonder what the hell we're talking about. All right. Also with us, Randy, the government would be happy to loan you 6 Black Hawk helicopters, Mr. Cage Jordan.
Aloha, Scott, Brian.
Hi.
Or as I like to call you, Abraxas, Beelzebub, and Beelzebubba. Okay. All right. Here's the deal, boys. Cemeteries. They need upkeep. You can't just sell people tiny little parcels of your land for exorbitant prices and then have no ongoing maintenance costs. I'm just kidding. Of course you can. This is America. You don't need to pay no caretaker. You can just count on some old spirit of vengeance who's down to his last swig of rocket fuel and can't transform except for one more time to come along and take care of the place for you. He's a handsome feller, too. Tall and skinny. He's got a 19-inch waistline and a beard that's looked exactly the same since your granddaddy hired him 63 years ago. He don't ask for payment. He never needs new tools. He's been using the same shovel as long as you can remember. Pure profit.
True story. That shovel has seen better days.
Oh, yeah.
He kept leaning on it the whole time, so you thought, oh, that's an active shovel. And then when he threw it down, you're like, holy crap.
Yeah. You guys are reminding me that this movie, because you both focused on that dude, it would have been, this movie would have been served with having him in it way more than he was in.
Way more, yes.
Yeah, that would have been good. Also with us finally, Brian, Satan hates the lights, Ibbit.
Oh, he does. And speaking of which, good afternoon, Mr. Beelzebub. I'm attorney Derek Smith from the Hell Legal Team. How are you doing? Great. I wanted to go over this contract you have with Mr. Johnny Blaze. Yeah, we've been having a you of a time putting this together and wanted to go over a few things with you. First, it's the wording on the deal. We'd like to replace the agreement of making your father healthy with the phrase, healthy as a horse. Yeah, we like that too. It doesn't imply that the horse is healthy in case there are other pre-existing conditions that we don't know about, right? Yeah, you know, the you is in the details. Second, how committed are you to the flaming head rebel without a cause thing? Okay, we'd like to add that the whole transformation will be painful as hell. Oh, sorry, wrong choice of words. Painful as heck for the first time. And then after that, he'll be able to speak complete sentences and all that. Are you good with that? Good, good. I like it too. I guess that makes me the devil's advocate. Okay, sorry, moving on. Finally, we want to extend his contract to a second one of these movies. Oh, you already thought of that. Oh, look at that. You've already written in super tiny print at the bottom of the contract. Well, you know what they say. Idle hands are your playthings. Oh, sorry. I guess I know you can replace me. There's literally billions of us lawyers down here. Okay. Give them hell, sir.
Nice. Boy, you really, yeah. That was a constructed piece of work
Yeah,
there.
You really went all in on hell.
Yeah.
I like it.
I did.
Yeah, you did. Well done.
Did this remind you, this movie remind you of being in hell? Is that kind of...
A little bit.
Did it feel like you were in hell watching this movie?
A little bit. Right, I mean, right. Look, here... Bit. So, okay, I just get this out now. Ghost Rider's the movie, the first one with your Nicolas Cage. He had a sequel. Apparently, it's way worse than this one is.
Which it's called Spirit of Vengeance, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. It doesn't he pee fire in it or something? There's a scene where he pees fire.
Really?
Yeah, I heard something about that. This is my first viewing. Anybody else see this for the first time?
Or just I've watched this many. Okay, I've watched this many times. I actually like this movie.
And I'm gonna say I don't know if this puts me on Johnson Way team or whatever.
Johnson Way.
But it's really bad. I don't want to make any bones about it. It's a bad movie, but mm-hmm. I had so much fun watching this thing. It was a blast to watch, and partly because it's bad and partly because it's for Film Sack, but also there are moments where I'm like, that is so stupid. It's almost touching greatness, this little stupid moment. And I'm also a huge fan of the source material. I love the comic books. Huge fan, so... I feel like any treatment is cool. I guess they did some stuff. Maybe you know this, but they did something on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
They did. But it wasn't the Johnny Blaze version. It was the Robbie Reyes version of Ghost Rider. There have been five or six different characters in Marvel Comics to take up the mantle of Ghost Rider.
Right.
And Johnny Blaze was the first. Robbie Reyes, I think, might even be the most recent in the comics.
Well, I hope
I like this.
I keep hearing rumor that there's some sort of Disney Plus series being made. Like a true adaptation of the comic would really thrill me. But this movie, at the very least, kind of gleefully did stupid shit, and it was fun. Like I had a fun time. It was fun. With all of it. It was all
and
right.
As bad as the movie is on a writing level, mm-hmm. there's some really amazing bits of special effects and visuals, right? I mean, the first crash you see with Johnny Blaze jumping through the hoop. Oh no, yeah, it was Johnny Blaze where he comes down, his helmet shatters, or the glass in his helmet shatters, all in slow mo. That was really, really well done.
I couldn't tell if that was like a stuntman or a CGI.
Yeah,
deal.
They just painted over every frame to like for the face. And like it was definitely a stunt person just did it.
Yeah, because it looked legit, and I was a little shocked by it. I saw it and went, "Oh wow, that guy!
Yeah,
he probably got hurt."
Well, I think also this movie set the bar for what someone who has a burning skull should look like. Kind of like how Terminator 2 was how liquid metal human should look, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. has defined it for years, including the Silver Surfer. Mm-hmm. Also, one of Galactus's. Minions, wasn't he?
Oh, was Surfer? He for a while?
And Ghost Rider
Surfer was.
Ghost Rider was for a while too, I believe.
Oh, was he?
I didn't know that. I knew about Nova, and I knew obviously Silver Surfer. I didn't know Ghost Rider was.
That would make sense, though, doesn't it? That feels like a good combo if you're going to do a crossover. Mm-hmm. Feels
Galactus
like you
and Ghost Rider, sure.
Yeah, I can see that.
But I'd watch that.
Yeah. I just want to, before we go any farther, I just want to make sure that we've talked about the basic structure of the film. Like, what is this movie about, right?
Mm-hmm. Have we even said what this movie is?
Yeah, Ghost Rider.
Yeah, we said it was Ghost Rider.
Okay, all right. Okay, okay.
But look at the basic, like, the two-sentence summary is son of father-son motorcycle stunt team makes a deal with the devil to save his father's life. And, of course, that never works out, mm-hmm. right? That's always you never make mm-hmm. a deal with the devil.
Right.
And
right.
then 20 years later, he is... absolutely reject, deject, depressive stuntman who reconnects with his childhood love, falls in love, while also the fruits of his contract with the devil come due, and he plays out a video game. He plays out a video game. Mm-hmm. He meets a mentor. He has a little character development, and then he goes through a series of boss fights, leading to, leading through the ever increasing mini bosses. Right. That's it. Like, it's just you could have written this when you were 13. This script.
Oh yeah, 100%. It's super super basic. There's nothing. There's no question about that.
But this movie was a summer movie, and that's what I want for my summer movie. I want big budget, crazy Nick Cage doing crazy thing. And I don't want to sit there and have to think too hard. I don't want to sit there and think, what does the fire represent? What is the water? I don't want to think about it. Give me the 13-year-old script.
How come when we hear the Ghost Rider talk, it doesn't sound like
exactly?
I don't have any lips.
I want that version. It's really hard for me to enunciate my words.
Yeah, that would be amazing. No, it's real dumb, like straight up super dumb. But yeah, I had a lot of dumb fun watching it. Yeah. And to the point that I would actually say, hey, Nick, let's watch Ghost Rider. Like I would do this again. And I don't usually do that with movies this bad on the show. But there's just some fun to be had. And it's also got, like, you know, it's Nicolas Cage at his most like vampy, stupid.
Yeah,
ridiculousness, that thing we all love about him now.
Which, stop just a second. He's always at that level. That's the thing about Nicolas Cage.
Yeah.
You might want to stop and say, this is peak Nicolas Cage. You're like, oh, really? Is it 1987 or 2017? I think he's always peaking his weirdness.
That's what I would say, is that it's not like he's always at that constant level of cheese. It's that he goes up and down in these waves of cheese. Like, for every like high point of a Leaving Las Vegas, there's a Face Off or a whatever that one that we watched a few weeks ago with the Pierce Blood.
That was a good movie. The one is now I have to know it because it's going to piss me off.
Maybe I'm thinking of a different one. It's the one
it
where
was a while back.
Then I'm thinking of the one that we just saw recently where he's an executive who's just making Marvel's life hell, or something like that.
Was that in October or something?
Oh, that's the one from the 80s. That was the, he thinks he's a vampire. Vampire's Kiss, right?
The Vampire's Kiss, or Kiss of the Vampire.
Kiss of the Vampire.
Vampire's Kiss.
Whatever it is.
Yeah, Vampire's Kiss, whichever it is. But there's, he goes up and down, and you can even look at his IMDb, and it's like, Leaving Las Vegas, The Rock, Con Air, Face Off, City of Angels, Snake Eyes, 8mm, Bringing Out the Dead, Gone in 60 Seconds, The Family Man.
Like, I love it. There's a curve to it.
I want
right.
like a little curve chart that kind of
outlines this. That's the thing. Like, he's so cheesy when he's cheesy that even when he's kind of a straight man, like in Raising Arizona, it's on a different level.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
and that's just like, I can't think of anybody else who has this like body of work that's even close.
Yeah,
like,
it's
who? What?
That's why he's got this sort of weird legendary status, man. That's why everyone thinks he's memeable, and then at the same time weirdly admirable, and then weirdly pitiable, and like that. There's almost like nothing like that dude, which maybe is why they're making that new movie where, like, what's it called? The Unbearable Weight of Being a Genius, or whatever the hell it's called.
Oh,
and I haven't heard that. Is this about Nicolas Cage?
It's him in It's him playing himself.
Gotcha. So like a JCVD kind of thing.
Yeah, it's not like a real, based on a true story, but it is supposed to be him playing himself. Right?
Yeah, let me see if I can find the name. It is called...
I thought you were going to talk about the new National Treasure they've got coming out.
There's a new National Treasure coming out?
Yeah. What, you don't get the Nicolas Cage news alerts like me and Scott?
I don't. I don't have a Google alert for Nicolas Cage.
No, you know what? It's funny. It's not.
You're missing out.
It's not on his IMDb, which is weird. I would have thought.
But yeah, I saw. I know what you're talking about, Scott, because I just saw it. Like,
yeah, they've been showing images of it. Anyway, the concept is that it's like being John Malkovich-y, itchy. I don't know why I said itchy twice, but sure. And it looks real weird. So I kind of, who else is doing that? Like, you only get that out of him. You get that out of Jean-Claude Van Damme. You get that out of, you know, like these kind of actors are just in this unique, rarefied space where they're just freaking weird.
And there's right. also there's also a thing with Nicolas Cage where he can take a film down. Like, this one might have been better if it had been someone else.
Disagree.
Who was committed to you know what I'm saying? Like, the best thing in the film for me is when Nicolas Cage is being Johnny Blaze as an adult, just being Johnny Blaze. Like, when he chases down Roxanne after the biggest jump of his life, and he's just noodling around out on a motorcycle on a highway in Las Vegas,
doing all those little tricksy tricks.
Yeah, like that's Nicolas Cage at his best. But it's Nicolas Cage, and I'm just like, I couldn't help thinking, like, what if this was Chris Pine? You know what I'm saying? Like, I'll bet you there's a lot other examples of him just kind of, he kind of wasn't the best choice for the role.
I've thought about this for years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've thought about this for years. No. Can anybody replace Nicolas Cage in Ghost Rider, this vehicle? No.
All right. Here's what I would say. The film that they made, yes, I agree with Dunaway. The potential of something like, you know, think of it as like Judge Dredd and then Dredd.
Right.
Dredd is exponentially better than Judge Dredd. Do I want anyone but Sylvester Stallone in that first one? No, because that makes that cheese just melt, right? It's great.
So there's nothing in development, obviously. We talked a little bit about there might be a TV show coming to Disney Plus with Ghost Rider. But let's say they do bring him into the MCU proper, like into an actual film where he's maybe not the lead character, but there's like a Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness. He kind of makes an appearance, and it's an actor that we all know. Do you guys have somebody in mind that you think would be a good
pretty much anybody, because we haven't actually approached this with any other tool than Nicolas Cage.
Well, you can't have like Christopher Walken come in and be Johnny Blaze, but right.
because the Ghost Rider in the book is wide and varied. You know, Sam Elliott is a Ghost Rider. It's according to which version of the Ghost Rider you've
read. Johnny Blaze version of Ghost
Rider. It's a Johnny Blaze.
So that's reckless, young, hotshot, no pun intended, motorcycle dude.
Would have been Chris Evans who played Johnny Storm, but he's aged out.
We've kind of already had him. Yeah,
he's aged out.
Yeah,
I'll take us out of the picture if all of a sudden Captain America starts playing Ghost Rider.
Yeah, you can only do that. You can only do that once, right? You can only make that shift from one Marvel character to another once if you do a third one.
Right. You do three, Nicolas Cage, you're in trouble.
Yeah. Was Ghost Rider, and he was also Spider-Man Noir.
Oh, that's right. Plus the kick-ass guy. What was the kick-ass character? Uncle Joe or something?
Oh, right. I guess that was Marvel imprint, right?
I think so. I believe. Yeah. I think it was them. Was it DC? I don't remember now. Anyway.
Okay, I snuck Daniel Radcliffe in there, but actually, I'd like the younger Hemsworth. I'd like Liam Hemsworth to play.
Oh, you could do Liam. Yeah, he's got the Rebel Without a Cause kind of motorcycle dude look to him. Yeah, you could totally do him.
We've already had him in the MCU. He was one of the people in Asgard, isn't he?
Yeah, he's one of the in the play, right? During the fake play. Him and wasn't.
Matt Damon.
Oh, Matt Damon. That's who.
Matt Damon. Yeah,
that was so good. Oh my gosh, that was so good. All right. Yeah. No, I'm sure there's other people. I would like somebody with some real Southern swagger to do it.
That's really interesting because when I was thinking Daniel Radcliffe, I was thinking about the demonic possession aspect of it all, that always leads my brain toward a more British take.
I don't know about Daniel Radcliffe, distract the hell out of me. I don't think I could do it.
Yeah,
I can't have Harry Potter on that bike. That would be weird.
Right.
I think it would have to be, I don't know. I'd kind of like an unknown, to be honest. Somebody I don't.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Unknown would probably be our best, or somebody from TV who's almost there. I'd like to see somebody.
Okay, since you brought up unknowns, who's been watching October Faction?
Not at all, but I saw it.
It's unknown to me. It's on my
Netflix.
I don't even know what that is.
It's in my Netflix queue. It looks like a monster hunter kind of story.
Yeah, it's a series on Netflix that is part Supernatural, part Men in Black, and part Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And the thing about it is it's this Canadian production, and you will not recognize a single person in this show. They're all perfectly good actors. You just don't know them. They're all new to you. And that's the kind of thing that just really gets my attention. I love like watching something and not having any connection to anything else. You know what I'm saying? So like, I totally agree. I would love for a Ghost Rider series to have to be like that, to activate that stuff.
And they could do a really good job with it. Like, there's something great about this idea that his he has to, you know, he's own, like in the movie they refer to it, but owning the curse and fighting evil despite the fact that you're supposed to be cursed for evil's sake, like really sticking it to the Fondas by doing, you know, doing some good work out there. There's something about that whole thing that I've always loved. I love the comic. I love, there's a run in the 80s. I forget who the artist and writer were, and maybe I didn't love it as much as I should, but I loved that particular book. I still have it in a box somewhere. This made me want to go track those down again and like just read more Ghost Rider. I'm sure there's some cool modern take I don't know about.
Yeah. That's the thing about Ghost Rider. I mean, I have a hard time criticizing movies based on comic books now. Mm-hmm. I haven't always had that problem, but I mean, if you really go back and read some Ghost Rider, your source material, I know it can be rewritten a lot better. We've seen some really good theatrical presentations of comic strip to screen, but with Ghost Rider, I don't know. You've got to like park your brain a little bit, right?
It's kind of a silly premise. It's not like, you know, Asgardian God or
right Super with Soldier lots of lore.
It's, you know, dude right. makes a deal with the devil and only his head is flaming, or is his whole body flaming and we don't know because of the leather jacket, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right. And you can't hear the rock and roll when you're reading the comic, but you right. kind of can in your head. You kind of yes. know it's kind of rock and roll, right? Mm-hmm.
Yes, mm-hmm. For sure.
Yeah, he's a product of this of the 70s, right? Like that's mm-hmm. That's the whole birthing spot of a character like that. And for whatever reason, that over the top sort of pulpy aspect to it really sings to me. I think this movie could have leaned way more into that aspect of it, and when it did, it was really fun. When it just kind of relied on...
It was like Marvel designed a character that they knew would be airbrushed onto the side of a bunch of vans.
Right. Oh, my gosh.
With the sole purpose of airbrushing this guy onto a van.
Yeah, and like custom vans full of carpet and stuff.
Right.
Exactly. What if we had a guy with a skull that was on fire?
It's badass. So metal. It's just a badass metal idea, and I'm here for it.
For the last few weeks, ever since Martin Scorsese complained about comic book movies, I have been trying to figure out what's the crux of the complaint. And I've decided that my answer to that question is a single trope. And that single trope is called Magic A is Magic A. Have any of you ever heard this?
Never heard it.
No.
Okay. All right. So Magic A is Magic A. The trope means that in your story, you define something outside of reality, something supernatural, and you have to play by the definition of that thing.
Yeah.
So
never call it that, but yeah, playing by the rules.
It's in every comic story. In Iron Man, there is an absolute trope around the Iron Man suits. They only function when they have enough power. And that's just a thing that you just accept and you go on. Mm-hmm. You know, and in this movie, there's like you have to be in the presence of evil at night is one of them, right?
Yeah, I don't think that night thing holds in the comics. I think that they added that.
I don't think
that.
It does either.
That's a movie fabrication.
Yeah, I don't like that because these aren't vampires. These aren't werewolves. Right. Like, what are you doing? He's
Hell
a demon.
Exists during the day too, people.
Yeah.
Right. Right in the day of light.
And I understand how it created opportunity later for some devices like, hey, the gun's in the sunlight, so now it's a cool hell gun and I can shoot him with it. Mm-hmm. I understand all that, but I don't know.
I think the Magic A is Magic A trope is ultimately what Scorsese hates, because it's pervasive in all these kinds of stories. In order to make a comic book, apparently, about anything supernatural, you have to go making up these definitions of how the supernature works. Mm-hmm. And this film has that, and it's a little bit of an earworm. Like, it gets in your brain and you're just like, okay, but that didn't they just tell me that? Okay, all right, I guess that's how that works. Mm-hmm. And you're like the whole time, and it takes you away from the film, and that's it feels like a comic book effect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I see where you're coming from. I mean, I just feel like the movie would have benefited from them just leaning into all these dumb ideas in a much more much more just like all in kind of way, because they would do that in parts and then they would back up and go, yes, but what about the relationship with Eva Mendez? What about that?
I like that the Eva Mendez
I have a huge crush on love her. Story. So.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And where did she go? I love her so much. We just seen her just recently in a Training Day. We saw maybe too much of her in Training Day.
Yeah, she's naked.
And but yeah, if you look for her most recent credits on IMDb, it's like she's got like a Pantene commercial, and I'm like, what?
Yeah, she's
not.
She should
be doing more than this.
I agree. She's great.
I loved her in Hitch.
And whoever did the casting on this to pick the younger Roxanne character,
oh, so
did an amazing job of finding someone who looks like they.
I thought
been.
It was her. I did. Yeah. Like for a long time, I was like, man, did they just like special effects, or else maybe she was just. Like, so good at playing younger that she was just faking us all out, and then to find out it's not even the same chick, I'm like, whoa, wait a minute, what?
Yeah.
That was nuts.
Nailed it. Also, the Matt Long guy, you wish, Nicolas Cage. That's the guy who played him when he was young. You wish.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
I wasn't
Long.
Buying that. But I think everybody had like their alternate younger self, right? Even Sam Elliott had like a young writer.
Oh, did?
Oh, right, right. Well. The little... Right.
Oh, because he's the one who... I guess you're immortal then? Is that the deal? If you're
You're as mortal to a point that your contract is valid. And I guess at that point you start to age or something, because this was his last flame on.
Right.
And now he was no longer a bounty hunter or a writer. So I don't know. They didn't really say what happened, but we all assume he went off and decayed quickly. And all that was left was like a mustache.
And a shovel.
Right, and a shovel.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
I just did a little bit of a look up on Eva Mendes, and it looks like, so she had two kids with Ryan Gosling, and then they really broke up.
Are they the most attractive children in the history of the planet? Did they just
no kidding?
One could imagine.
Jeez.
They broke up like while making the movie Lost River, which he directed, and so she just was kind of like, I have enough money. I have two kids to raise, and she had started like a clothing company, and so she semi-retired to focus on that clothing line.
Oh, okay.
Well, I
would buy her. What can I buy? Tell me what I can buy from her. Can I get
It's called New York.
A scarf? Can I get a scarf? An Eva Mendes scarf?
Yeah. Take whatever you got. I'll take it.
It's all women's clothing. Sorry, Scott.
Okay.
You can wear that.
Good news, Scott. Yeah, it's all women's clothing.
Yeah, good news, everybody.
Good news.
Not that there's anything wrong with that. Anyway, I looked
7
up,
days ago on People. She says she's grateful every day that I'm aging after being told she's getting old. That wasn't nice. Who told her that?
Yeah, why would you
her
say
kids.
That?
Her kids said that. I didn't hear that.
Sounds like something we'd say here on FilmSack.
She's just concentrated beauty. She's just a beautiful person.
Really is.
And she's very, she also plays such a great, strong character. Like, I really like her. I wish she was more active in the movies, but I get it too. I'd rather her do what she wants to do.
She felt in place and out of place in this movie. It was weird. There were lots of times where I was like, oh, she's the only real substance in the film. And then other times where I'm like, what are you doing slumming in this thing? she was fine. She wasn't given enough to do. Like, there wasn't enough about her. She's like stock journalist, right?
Yeah.
Her character.
Yeah.
And that's a shame. Because like the film could have, if the film was a series, it could have done a lot more to build up that character.
Yeah, well, other than the sequel series it became, which apparently, again, that sequel's supposed to be just the most sloppy turd ever made. Like, just
sloppy
real
dirt.
Bad.
That's so gross.
I've never seen it, obviously, because I haven't seen the first one, and now I have. Now I kind of want to see the second one. I kind of want to do it here.
I like the sequel even more.
Oh, my gosh. Now we have to see it, because word on the street is it is a turd. And
why didn't we watch that first? That's our deal, right? We watched the second one before the first.
I don't think this was streaming, right? It wasn't streaming. I actually own its own Vudu, but I don't think it is streaming.
Yeah, I don't think it's streaming. Yeah.
I have it in 3D.
How do we feel about Donald Loke or Locke?
Donald Loke. We like Donald Loke.
I do too. I think he's great. Yeah. I think he adds something to this, like the kind of bumbling dude.
But he will always be the sidekick. Like he, you know.
Except in that show.
What show?
The comedy that he was in.
What was that show?
I was
going
to say in Gotham,
Grounded,
he was the sidekick.
Grounded for Life.
Oh, yeah, Grounded for Life. He was the main dude. He was the dad in that show. I liked Grounded for Life.
He could be a comedic lead. How about that?
Yeah, he could totally do that.
Comedic lead.
This dude has worked, man, every day of his life since 1990, and he is still just at it. So, good job.
And so
he was one of the best things.
Yeah, such an unsatisfactory death, though. I hated that Hated he just, you know, just he was standing there. Next thing you know, he's getting sucked.
Yeah.
Dude's he's pushing,
pushing 60. Donal Logue experience is this little movie called The Tao of Steve.
How'd you say his name? Donal.
Donal Logue.
Is
right?
It Donal Logue? Yeah. Is that how you say it? Donal Logue. Okay. All right.
I thought it was Luke.
Donal or Donal?
There's no cares? D in there.
Listen.
Donal does. Donal cares very much whether there's a D in there or not.
But is it pronounced Donal or Donal?
I don't know.
Okay. All right. Listen. Well, usually you know.
Hey, when you invest in a name pronunciation, you're going to miss a few points.
Oh, you know
go
what?
Ahead.
I found it. Let me play it.
All right. Ooh, all right. Good. All right.
Here we go. Hold on. Wait, that's the wrong one. Here we go. Okay, it's a YouTube thing. Okay.
Donal Logue.
Donal Logue. Hold on.
Donal Logue.
Let's see if okay, it... so just like I was saying it. Anyway, Donal there's this movie. Logue.
Sorry, go ahead.
Keep doing it. Keep doing it. Just say so.
She keeps. She it. Says it with different emphases. Emphases. More. Here.
I think Randy ought to start his own Logue. YouTube channel where he pronounces names. And that way it'll become Donal fact Logue. Because anytime
oh,
you...
Oh, see, that one says it the way I'd say it. This guy said it. Hold on.
Donal Logue.
See, that's how I'd say it.
That sounds American. That's the American. Donal Logue and Donal Logue.
Donal Logue. Right. Anyway, sorry. What about him? He's almost 60, but what were you saying? There's something you were saying.
Randy. He's almost 60?
Well, he's 60. No. He was born in 66, so he's 54.
He's 54. Okay.
Yeah, he's like, hold up, Scott Johnson. I'm on the good side of 50. Don't be saying I'm almost sick. Don't be rounding me up.
Yeah, I am rounding him up. I didn't mean to do that. But anyway, sorry. So yeah, he was in Blade too. He was great in Blade.
Oh yeah,
right. First Blade, yeah. Played Quinn.
Great, great, great character actor who knows his lane. He does what he's good at only, mm-hmm. and like I say, he was given the opportunity to make this whole film, and the film is called The Tao of Steve. You should find it. It is a lovely little movie. It's about 20 years old now, and it's just him as a character that's really interesting, and it's not that long. It's very cute. I always think of him there, but you're absolutely right. Other than that, he's a sidekick. He's the perfect mm-hmm. sidekick mm-hmm. because he has the... he has that flabbergasted response to everything right. that anybody ever says.
He can be the audience connection and say, what are you talking about? What do you mean you're a flaming mm-hmm. skull at night who mm-hmm. preys on the vengeance right. of victims?
He's reading all kinds of crazy crap. Get over here. He's always a concerned friend, too, right? Mm-hmm. He's like, get over here. Look at this. Look at this crap.
Yeah. What do you mean we've got somebody running around Gotham asking, making up riddles and killing people?
Yeah, and he has a funny, timing to him, and he's great. Yeah. That guy's great. Yeah. And also, I wonder, if you went to a ginger convention, is he like the keynote speaker at all the ginger conventions?
Right. How many times has he been on FilmSack? He was definitely in Reindeer Games. What else was he in?
He was in...
Is that second time?
Blade. Well, we didn't do Blade 1, did we? We did Blade 2.
We did Blade 2, I believe, right?
Let's see, we did... That might be it.
It was a TV movie called Wiener Park. He played Cooter Kincaid.
Cooter Kincaid.
I want to see Wiener Park.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. Hey, sign me up. Wiener Park. We're in. It sounds like a horrible 80s raunchy comedy, doesn't it?
There's really no, you can't say anything. I really want to see Wiener Park. Like, there's really no way you can say anything about Wiener Park that isn't potential edited out for taking out of context.
Yeah. I'm all in on Wiener Park. Let's do it.
He was in one of the adaptations of Little Women.
Oh, fantastic.
Who wasn't really at this point? Oh, we saw him in Sneakers.
Oh, right.
Okay. Yeah. Was he in Sneakers?
Yeah.
He was in Sneakers. Dr. Gunter Janek.
Yep.
Which is almost as weird a name as Donal Logue.
Yep. Donal right. Logue. Yep. Oh, Sneakers.
I'll be following your YouTube channel, Randy, waiting for you to
I love the idea that when he was born, his nice Canadian parents went to fill out a birth certificate and just left out a letter. And then they're just like, oh, right. Let's just go with it.
I don't know. I mean, he's of Irish ancestry. I don't know if that's a common name in Ireland. Donal. Oh, Donal, what are you doing, Donal?
Donal, what are you doing out in the backyard? Donal, come in the house. Pull your pants up, boy.
Go guard that pot of gold,
yeah,
Donal.
What are you doing? These lucky charms aren't going to eat themselves.
So speaking of character actors, this Ghost Rider movie is the first film appearance of Rebel Wilson.
Yeah,
I noticed that. I was like, Rebel Wilson is Amy from The Pitch Perfect.
I put a GIF up online and said, I said current mood or something, and then I put that picture of her making those hand symbols, and somebody, like two or three people that said, so that looks like a goth Rebel Wilson. I'm like, well, you're totally halfway 100% correct. I don't know how goth she is, but that is literally her first role, and it's odd, and she's good in it. Like, she's actually convincing, and that's a funny moment, and it works well, and I love the, I don't know what trope this is called. Randy may have it on hand or something, but it's like the
man on the street.
The man on the street, but they're always like this. They're always punky and a little out of it and are so struck by a camera looking at them. They don't quite know what to do. You see this in every movie ever, I swear.
So on TV tropes, that's called the confused bystander interview.
Of course it is.
And
that was exactly what you'd think it'd be.
Confused bystander interview has some great examples. Like in the Spider-Man films, there's one of them where Lucy Lawless is doing a cameo as the confused bystander.
God, why do I feel like Stan Lee did one of those?
Oh, he did. He did. Doesn't he always do that? Several times. Yeah, several times.
Well, the confused bystander, that's how he is. Man on the street interview. What was the movie where he did that?
I don't remember which one. So that's what that is, Scott. And it's great.
I love that. It's a good, it works too. It's like a functional, it's a trope that actually really works for what it is meant to do. And I don't feel like I'm being manipulated.
And we've seen it in reality, right? Like the hide your kids, hide your wife guy.
Yeah.
That was really actually, you know, trying to do an interview on TV, right?
Yeah, like it's almost not a, it's almost not a trope. By the way, this is funny. We were talking about this because somebody last week was railing on movie tropes and TV tropes as institutions and websites because they don't like how storytelling is being boiled down to these little component pieces and then looked at in this way as if they're just these Lego pieces that anybody could just throw together and make a story out of. And that, and the thing that they're complaining about might actually be true. I don't know. But it was interesting to hear like this freak out about that sort of thing. Is someone's fries done or something? I keep hearing
that. No, that was actually my phone, but it wasn't the phone I thought it was. And I thought I turned it off. And then I realized.
Oh, it was your burner phone.
Burner phone.
Sorry about that. I totally hear Johnny Blaze revving up his motorcycle.
Oh, you can hear it. So, yeah. So that's the reason why I have my burner phone next to me. Because outside, they're doing some. They're taking some trees down, so I was trying to keep that quiet.
Oh, trees plural? Like multiple trees are going down?
Well, no, just one tree.
Oh,
it's
okay.
Dunaway Grove is getting trimmed down.
Dunaway Grove is being removed out, and they're putting in a parking lot. It's going to be great. All right. Anyway, so here's some trivia. This is fun stuff. Nicolas Cage had to have his Ghost Rider tattoo covered up with makeup to play Johnny Blaze. He has a Ghost Rider tattoo.
That's wild.
He is, you know, Joe, I love comics, man. I mean, he took his name Cage because of Luke Cage.
Yep.
He's Nicolas Coppola. He's wanted to play Superman forever and almost got the chance and then finally did get the chance in the Teen Titans movie. Go to the movies, Teen Titans go to the movies.
Right.
Got to do the voice.
Yep.
But he has been like, he wants to be a Marvel superhero so bad, even more than Sean Young wanted to be Catwoman.
Yeah. Which is saying a lot.
Don't you know when he had finished making this film and then found out that he had no chance to be the lead in Iron Man? He was just crushed.
Aww.
Like when he, I'm sure there was a moment in Nicolas Cage's life when he's like, oh, Robert Downey Jr., Iron Man. Oh,
do you think he was considered? Like, do you think that, oh, we'd love to get Nicolas Cage to play Iron Man, but he just did Ghost Rider and that'd be too confusing.
I'm sure he pined for it and they just were like, yeah, never I don't know if he was. It.
Yeah. I mean, what a better casting. Like, just why, if you could get Downey Jr., right? Why would you do that?
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. They would have been a mistake. I don't think.
Yeah. I don't think we'd have the MCU.
If there's an alternate timeline where this happened, I wonder what the MCU even did. Like,
yeah.
I hate to say it, but that would have really affected things. It would have been weird.
I think so. Yeah. And
Nicolas Cage has a long history of getting drunk, and he's an angry drunk, and he gets DWI, and he goes on a rampage in New Orleans, and so on.
Right.
And I just imagine. That, you know, he was just like wishing his whole life to play Iron Man, and then it just passes him by, and it and then he's like drunk for 6 months.
Well, you'd think being drunk would help you because Tony Stark was a notorious drunk, but you know what's just funny?
Drinking a glass full of jellies, though, right?
Exactly. But it's like, you know, the Robert Downey Jr. on the other side of his horrible cocaine addiction. It was a better choice, weirdly. So, yeah.
Because I've never seen. Has seen Nicolas Cage? Yes, I've seen Nicolas Cage with a mustache, and his default mustache would not have worked.
Oh, no. Yeah. You'd have to do some work. Kind of like they did on his hair in this thing. That hair was not. In fact, the trivia says that the hairpiece required 3 hours of work to apply every day of shooting. So
that's because it was always trying to get away.
It was always trying to leave.
Yeah.
But that patch of black hair he doesn't actually own.
That was the screaming you were hearing.
Yeah.
You thought it was the other, but it was that.
Did you guys also...
go ahead. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
What I was going to say was it always fascinates me to see people like Nicolas Cage and... when they take their shirt off and you're like, well, I didn't expect that. Surprise. Yeah. Is there another unexpected surprise?
Yeah, I just had one this very week. Right? I watched in the exact same vein. I watched Gerald's Game and the guy who plays Gerald, his name just left me, Captain Pike in the Star Trek movies. I just talked about him last night. Anyway,
yeah, Bruce Greenwood.
Bruce Greenwood is like in it. That dude is in his 60s. He takes his freaking clothes off, except for his undie panties, and man, he is ripped, that guy. He is in such good shape. It's amazing to look at. And,
I didn't see that coming.
That was a little bit like this. In fact, you know, I mean, Nicolas Cage today, I would argue, probably would have a little harder time pulling it off, but 10 years ago or 12, 13 years ago, I guess he could do it.
Hank Azaria always surprises me because when you see his face and he talks, and like, oh, look at Hank Azaria, such a nerd dweeb, and he takes his shirt off and like, that dude's ripped.
Yeah.
That dude is ripped.
Yeah, he does that. That Camille, he's younger, but that was shocking, right, Ibbett, when we first saw that picture of that comedian dude. You're like, what the
Camille
frick?
Camille Nanjiani, when he was, we're going to see him in The Eternals.
Right. And do you think like everybody else, when they get all buffed up, like Christian Bale or whatever, then the next time you see him for a promo interview, they're just a little puffy because they just said, you know what, I'm done. I'm going to go.
Exactly. That rolls over. Give me a ding dong.
Yeah, give me a ding dong stat. Oh, good like for you, he says. Bring me a ding dong.
Kimmel, when he had Camille Nanjiani on a couple weeks ago, they talked a lot about that photo, even pulled up the photo and showed it. And then, you know, they said, well, yeah, principal photography or principal shooting of the Eternals is just about done. And then Kimmel lowered down like a chandelier that had nothing but flan and cheesecake and you know,
that's awesome.
Tiramisu and creme brulee, like all like right around his head. They had it perfectly lined up.
That's amazing. I love that.
And there's some photographic like trickery going on with Camille Nanjiani. Like you see those pictures and like, yeah, I guarantee you that you also look a little more muscular if you've got several different spotlights casting shadows downward.
Yeah. Plus he's all oiled up or whatever.
Oiled up.
Yeah.
Listen,
what do they rub all over his skin? Is it like
Vaseline or something? Yeah. I'll tell you, whatever trickery they use, I'd like some of that trickery with me because I think that's still 95% muscle and 5%.
Yeah. You have to trick on the lighting. Exactly. You've got to get at least 95% before they can get you the other 5%.
Yeah. They even did it with Nicolas Cage in this, where he's just all oiled up and sweaty or whatever.
I'm sure some of his, you know, probably airbrushed a little bit and, you know, he probably dehydrated so that his muscles will pop out some. I'm sure there's some trickery there. You got him, you know, he's supposed to be a superhero. So you gotta go to that next level. Tell you who has really impressed me though, with their change in health style and almost worries me a little bit. Ethan Suplee from My Name is Earl. Remember this guy?
Yeah.
He's ripped now. What happened?
Really?
Did he go all Anthony
Michael Hall on us?
Yeah, he's massive, man. It's
great. It's not even like a thinness.
No.
It's just
he's trying to retain muscle as he loses the weight. Yeah. So he's doing, it's pretty interesting. He's got YouTube videos of how he's working out and everything, and it's good stuff.
Boy, there are some unflattering, like The trick is to find the most unflattering picture of Ethan Suplee and then put the buff Ethan Suplee next to it.
Right.
If you're a Google image search, it's like, all right, can we find one where like there's bacon grease dripping out of his cheeks and my transparent wife beater and bad hair.
This one I'm putting in Discord is probably a better example because it's like here he is just at a premiere or something.
Yeah.
And then look at him now. Like, what did he do, man? Holy crap.
So it's far better than this one right here that I'm going to put in.
This is audio. Good audio theater here.
For people who are listening along, we're talking about, you know.
Sorry.
We're talking about the fat guy from Butterfly Effect, right?
From a Film Sack perspective, that's the guy.
And there's a couple of things about him, right? Like, he was very large previously. He was balding. And he's in addition to doing, you know, like living in a gym for years now, he also, he's wearing a hat in new pictures. Mm-hmm. He's grown his beard out so that it's long and makes his face look a lot leaner, just by virtue of having a big beard. Mm-hmm. And it's like he's doing all of these things. Like, it's a real inspiration to me. I'm like, man, if I just took the time and spent 10,000 hours in a gym.
It makes him look mad, but he's actually, for all accounts, this is like the nicest guy. My guess is this is what happens to him. The guys like him and the dude from
Silicon Valley?
No, who's the
Superbad?
Superbad, thank you.
Superbad. Oh, Jonah Hill.
Jonah Hill. When he the talk is on all these guys. What happens? They go into a doctor and they give him a blood test and they go, "You're like diabetic, like now. What are you gonna do?" And they're like, "Oh shit!" And then they do this. And it's great to see. Like, that's a really hard thing to do. And, you know,
people who are driven like that. That's what happened to me. I didn't go the buff route, but I was well overweight. And I went into the doctor and he said, "Your triglycerides are like off the charts." And he's like, "You got to do something." And I was like, "Oh, crap." So I was like, "Okay, you got to lose the weight."
Yeah. And get in there and get it done, man. And that'll motivate you. But it's just, I don't know. It's cool when people like him can do this and then not have it not scare them about their career. I mean, I don't know what work he's doing now in his career, but you know, he was known as the big fat schlubby guy you would roll and put him in. So like, you know, Jonah Hill can maybe get away with it because he's been nominated for Oscars and things and he can sort of, I don't know, he can navigate that. But guys like this, do they, you know, I remember when Newman from Seinfeld lost a ton of weight.
Oh yeah, right.
And then it felt like nobody would hire him for anything because you need fat Newman guy. So I don't know. That's a weird sub part of Hollywood that fascinates.
Like, we don't want you unless you're fat and you can be the goofy sidekick that makes people laugh because you fall over.
Right.
And all these people under a lot of public pressure, not only just in the industry from, you know, people like even Mendez. She had like the recent encounter about getting old on Instagram. So I mean, it's rough out there. I don't know if I could handle the public eye like these people do, or some of them do.
Yeah, I got bad news for people that criticize people for their age. They're literally aging at the same time.
It's happening to all of us.
Yeah.
Yep.
Everyone.
You will be there before you know it.
You could be a little pink baby pooped out fresh an hour ago. You're aging now.
Right.
Right now you're aging.
the raising of Jonah Hill reminds me that it's been 2 weeks since our last episode of Film Sack, and since then Kobe Bryant died. And out here in Los Angeles, that was like a major world event for celebrities and so on. Everyone was suddenly flooding onto the talk shows to recall, you know, Kobe Bryant. And Jonah Hill was one of like the most prominent because he also lost his brother. He and his brother met Kobe Bryant before his brother died. He has this whole story. And it just got me thinking, like Kobe Bryant, Oscar winner. Seriously, he won an Oscar 2 years ago. Like that's just a
letter to basketball or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
Dear Basketball.
Yeah, it was
Dear
Basketball documentary thing.
And you should watch it, by the way.
It's animated short.
It was animated. Yep. I didn't know that. That's cool. Oh yeah, I think I remember hearing about it at the time. I went, I should watch that, and this never did. I kind of want to see it. That was a big deal when he died. That was bad. Mm-hmm. I don't like
it. It affected us here on the. Yeah, it did.
Yeah.
But we're, yeah.
I'm really bummed. As, I mean, the daughter end of it really got me. Not that, mm-hmm. you know, he's mm-hmm. too young, too. There's no question about that. But there's something about it when a kid's only got 6 or 13 years on this planet and something like yeah. that happens. It's not cool. Not cool.
Not cool, yo.
All right, yeah. check this out. John Voight was attached to be in this movie, but he dropped out.
What was he doing?
Probably
what
Satan. It's probably Satan.
Anaconda. And I guess this is way later than Anaconda.
Yeah. This is when he was probably Satan, if I was to guess.
probably so.
Oh, as far as right. who he was going to play.
Yeah,
oh,
he was going to
sure,
play. Yeah. yeah, yeah. Also, I think John Voight might be
Satan.
Oh,
he could have played the. He might have been too old to play the dad, I guess.
Oh, yeah. He couldn't. This
didn't
is,
look like a guy who could drive a motorcycle without falling over.
Yeah, he's too old for that. I like the Easy Rider reference, though, that it seems yeah. obvious now because you got Peter Fonda in there, and this is all about big, long motorcycles with huge handlebars, and that's
an
Easy
Rider. One
of
my notes is that Nicolas Cage looks very, very comfortable on a motorcycle, yeah. and Eva Mendes looks really uncomfortable with a cigarette. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She has no business ever trying to smoke a cigarette.
Or drink
film.
That much wine at that dinner table. She just looked like it was too much. Just really
I love how they
down.
I do love how they shot Nicolas Cage on when they were going down the highway and he was outside her window and yeah. He's just like on some kind of platform out there and he's doing all these yeah. climb ups and everything. Yeah. It's just shot at such a funny level.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was saying. Like he looks so comfortable on a motorcycle yeah. and he's an actor. He was born into an acting family. Like he has no business having a deep experience with vehicles, right? Like it's funny to imagine that he probably practiced a lot. He probably rode a motorcycle around because he wanted to be Ghost Rider someday.
Mm-hmm. I think he
was
I mean,
anybody in Evel Knievel on here? Did you guys were like, you guys like big into the Evel
yeah,
Knievel?
I was a little boy once.
Back in the day.
I
was aware of it. I never wasn't like right. I didn't get the pull zipline.
I did.
Did you have the Evel jumps over yeah. Snake River Canyon playset?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course.
Are you? So
I did have the Spider-Man version of that.
If you guys get a chance, you should watch the Johnny Knoxville, Jeff, what's his name, produced documentary called Being Evil. It's a great mm-hmm. documentary about mm-hmm. Evel Knievel. Totally worth tracking.
So
it down
mine was a guy on a motorcycle and this big red. A cranky toy and it had a switch mm-hmm. and so you would crank it really 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 fast and get it going and then flip mm-hmm. the switch and he would shoot off of it and ride across the room mm-hmm. and so then it came with like things you could use but I used all sorts of other toys to build ramps and do jumps with that toy mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I loved it. I would love to get my hands on that again. That it was just like such a simple little thing that I spent 100 hours playing with.
Big time boy toy too, or toy for boys, I should say.
Boy toy.
That's look at your boy toy. Quite the boy toy.
Not quite what I meant to say, but yes. But yeah, like the I remember those, and you had the ones I yeah. I think the one I maybe was more familiar with was just the zip pull one. Like those were kind of lame, where you yeah. just then put them down.
God, it's so funny. You don't see those at all anymore, and it seemed like the easiest way to get a really big amount of speed to have a car zip across the room mm-hmm. with zip ties.
They don't do them anymore.
No.
Randy, is this the one I'm posting in the Discord there? Is that the one you had?
Oh, yep. Yeah, that's it. Right. You'd like turn that crank until it like, yep. and then you'd hit the button and you'd like launch off of
that's
there.
That's great.
I had an absolute ton of Hot Wheels track, you know, this bright orange, very narrow track.
Yeah.
And so my goal was to take every other toy I had and build a ramp under the track and then actually get Evel Knievel to ride up the thing without mm-hmm. going off the side. It was mm-hmm. very, very difficult. Nowadays, I would have filmed myself doing this with my phone and you would have seen me fail 1,000 times and then finally get it and be like, you know, success video. And I would have been dancing around.
Yeah. And then you would have taken a bottle and flipped it over. It would have been awesome.
Yeah, you've done all that. Sure. And you know what's funny is that it's funny you bring that up. I mean, you would have done that today, but you would have only shown, you wouldn't have shown all the fails. You would only have shown the
yeah,
good
you
one.
Yeah, only have shown
yeah,
the success.
Exactly.
And then all of your friends would have been in the room and they would have went, oh!
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that stuff's so played out. Everyone does it now. I don't like it. All right, yeah. Let's see. Oh, I was going to say this. Where is it? Oh, no, Brian already told us. There are three Marvel movies that he's been in. Kick-Ass, where he was Big Daddy, mm-hmm. Spider-Man okay, Noir, and then Spider-Verse. Yeah, or in Spider-Verse. Into the Spider-Verse. And then this. Okay. Oh, here it is. According to an interview he gave in the New York Times in 2010, a couple years later, this movie was made during the middle of Wes Bentley. He played the Satan's son, evil guy, We Are Legion guy, that guy. Wes Bentley's decade-long, extremely serious addiction to cocaine and heroin. Which, by the way, is like playing both ends of the team there. Because heroin.
Right. Speed up, slow down. Speed up, slow down. Yeah. Speed up, slow down.
He said in this interview they only accepted any movie roles during that time so he would have money to buy enough drugs. So that dude was like on fire with the drug addiction.
He's the worst thing in the film.
He's terrible. He's terrible. Yeah,
he does not belong here. He doesn't do a good job.
He's also in
the special effects they use is not good either.
Isn't he also in Gotham? Or I'm thinking of somebody else actually.
I don't remember him in Gotham. He was in American Beauty. He found a paper bag or a plastic bag to be very entertaining.
Right. He's the brother or whatever. Or no, was he the brother?
The love interest.
The neighbor.
Oh, yeah. Right. Okay. That's who that is.
Yeah, so I spent a little time writing a little fan fiction about this. I thought
did you?
No, not about that, but Wes Bentley and Matt Long, who played young Johnny Blaze. Mm. At first, when I saw Wes Bentley, I was like, wait, did we just flash back to Matt Long? Young, because I thought he looked kind of similar for some reason. And then I started writing this fan fiction where the devil or Mephisto, whatever his name is, Mephistopheles. Yeah, Peter Fonda.
Mephisto in the comics.
Right. Yeah, I had like this idea that maybe Peter Fonda went and had a Miss Blaze, and maybe he had like a second child or something. There's some kind of weird soap opera family thing going on in this whole thing. But
I would watch your script. I'd watch your movie. Your movie sounds good. Your movie sounds all right. I'd watch it. Get it out there, Brian. Sell that script.
Got it.
Yeah, make that happen. fake video game. I don't. We've never done this before. It's a new segment I like to call fake video game alert. And I'm gonna go ahead.
Well, real video game used in a fake way in the movie.
I feel like that may have been a fake, full on fake game though.
No, the trivia says that is a
Microsoft's.
What's it called?
A video game called. Hold on, I'm gonna find it.
Here's the theme. Here's our theme for it. Okay, go ahead.
It's a video game called Krusty Demons.
Yes. Oh, what?
Krusty
really?
Demons, developed by Climax Studios. A group of hard-riding extreme bikers are killed while performing an insane stunt. Satan offers to resurrect them and make them immortal if they use their motorcycle skills to do Satan's work.
What? Wow. Hold on. Krusty Demons.
Krusty Demons.
I got to look this up.
And then,
that's what I wake up in the morning.
Also,
it's a movie.
That's what's
and
in my eye when I wake up.
So it was a movie, and they made a video game about some movie called Krusty Demons, I think.
Well, and then they also made the Ghost Rider video game. Climax Studios turned around, and so like they made that game, and then they made this game with 2K, just called Ghost Rider, which is like a movie game.
Reskinned it basically, right?
Do we have a term for a video game that's made to coincide with a movie?
They're called.
Adaptations,
not just tie-ins, right? Not tie-ins.
Is this tie-in, right?
That's not a bad term,
right?
Yeah. Video game tie-in. There you go. Sure, I think that's what you call it. I forget. That's there's another word though. There is another word, and we don't hear it as much because they don't do it as much as they used to.
I usually just call it crap.
Well, usually because it used to be, but now these days when you get something that's tied in, you can count on it usually a little bit better quality. But back in like the THQ days, that stuff was garbage, man. It was just shovelware.
Yeah, and then even one example of Geostorm, the video game, is way better than the movie.
Yeah, that was such a cool little game.
It was a really cool little game, yeah.
And you know another one is that Mummy, Geostorm Mummy movie. The Tom Cruise was in the Mummy thing. There's a kind of a Metroid-like game that they put out alongside of that, and it is awesome. It is so good, and it has nothing to do with the film other than the name and, you know, sort of your fighting the mummy, but it's just so much better than that movie.
It seems to, with video game tie-ins, it seems to be either they were great or they were garbage. Like there's E.T. on the Atari, and then there's GoldenEye on the Nintendo 64, and there's not much in between, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, well, there's, I don't know, I said finger.
Tons
I
of games finger. In between. Right.
I could finger at them, but there are some other examples.
Like, did you play Spider-Man 2 on the PS2? That was a great video game.
It was a great video game.
It was a really good game, yeah.
That game was awesome. Still good. Well, I don't know. If I plugged it in now, I'd probably think it was gross. But, you could argue that the new Spider-Man game, which is incredible, no pun intended, doesn't exist without the work done with like 2 and some of those early ones. So sure, there's always exemptions, but for the most part, if you were doing like, there's an Iron Man game that came out in 08 during the with the release of the first Iron Man that is just utter hot, sweaty, voluptuous garbage. It's so bad.
There's apparently one right now on the PSVR that I can't even bring myself to spend the money to get because apparently it's so bad. But it's you in the suit. But I think all you do is fly around and maybe you shoot fireballs or something like that. And it's
I heard that was supposed to be good. Is it not good?
I don't know. I've heard it just looks bad. So I don't know if you've seen reviews.
Well, the talk at E3 was that it actually looked really, really good. But I don't know. I didn't even know it was out. Is it out?
Maybe it's out. I think it's out. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I have to look that up.
Maybe you just need a cheap version for the Oculus Quest and I'll try it.
Oh, here we go. Reviews, Marvel, Iron Man VR. Oh, it's not out yet. 96 days, 12 hours.
Okay.
Yeah. 96 days. Jeez, when's that? That's like
3 months.
3 months from now. Yeah, it's not out yet.
So I would like 96 days. What is that? Like, how many weeks is it? Give me hours. I want hours now. Go.
God, I would like video game connection on this show to be anything that the movie had to do with any video game. Like, there's a ton of them. And it's actually often very interesting. It's just often such garbage. And this movie was like I don't understand what they were doing.
It was
like,
no good.
It was garbage.
It was no good. Like, I don't even like how they used it in, was it Breaking Bad had the first Rage in it, I think. Rage 1, which was, at the time they showed it, was a, but no, it was on consoles. So I don't know how anyway, they portrayed it in such a weird way. They showed him holding controllers for a version of the game that didn't exist. And I hate that. Like, just do a little extra. If you're going to showcase this id Software game in your show, then have, you know, the right, like, just don't pretend that, you know, don't act like we don't know. Because a lot of us know, you know, we know.
You know, we know.
And,
you know, come on.
You know, I can tell. Know. I can tell when you're trying to yank me around. So don't do that.
You know what else I know?
What?
You know what else I know?
What do you know?
Brett Cullen, Daddy Blaze, he really didn't go out in a blaze.
No.
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 That was he just kinda like fell over.
Right, exactly. Like he went at an angle. And really honestly, he looked like he still would have made it through the Ring of Fire and just came down on his knee on the other side, or came down on his leg. Probably broke a leg, but
so the point of that whole scene was the devil killed him.
Right.
The devil took him. The devil made him lose consciousness or whatever, so he just falls over. And dies, and you're supposed to get that the devil's involved, and I don't understand why they just didn't depict that.
Well, that's because they're too loose with those rules. It's like haunted house movies. Like, lay down the rules and then stick to them. It sounds like what you need is some kind of contract for everything. So make the deals, but don't have loopholes. Like, yeah, I'll solve his cancer, but I'm gonna make him die the next day by just falling on his knee. Like, I hate that. That's too fast the rules.
Well, that's like turning the devil into a genie, right? Because that's kind of how this portrayed. That's always how it's always portrayed before. You know, be careful what you wish for. You don't want to wish for that because you'll get it, and then you'll get something worse.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. This is such a cheat to say no cancer, but you got the falling on the knee, and you're dead.
What the cheat was? What the cheat was when the devil or one of the demons anyway passed over the pin, which was a goat pin, like a leg of a goat or something. Here's the pin. Here you go. What's sign with that? And he just accidentally pricks himself on the board, and then he like bleeds on the sign place, and he's like, "That's good." I was like, wait, that's not how that works.
No, it's exactly.
Then I thought, it's the devil.
Because you could accidentally sign like, wait, I was just looking it over real quick before I
just took
it to
the stuff.
Yeah. I think it took too long to get to the point of the movie or to the fun part. Like, it was way too much setup. This thing was half over before we got to see the actual flaming skull head and all of that.
Well, they worried too much about the whole relationship with Roxanne, too. They spent too much time on that, because that really didn't... It just gave him somebody to save at the end, but really it wasn't his drive.
Well, she actually saved him, though, right? She shows up with the shotgun and goes...
Well, yeah.
Yeah, apparently she covers both sports and awful murders. That's her beat.
That's her beat.
Yep. She's Roxanne, on the scene.
Reporting on the scene of yet another awful murder and sport-related accident. Back to you in the studio.
Yeah, I didn't buy any of that. That was all horribly handled. But whatever. All right, I have a...
And boy, you want to talk about... Okay, so let's. I want to say something, too. One last thing.
Yeah.
The worst alter ego of any superhero ever... Because of not keeping it secret. So how about secret identity? Worst secret identity, it wasn't even like half a second for everybody in the whole city knew, oh yeah, that's Johnny Blaze. Mm-hmm.
Is that really a secret identity though? I mean,
that's right. I mean, he was trying to kind of keep it secret, but he really blew
it. It's not like Spider-Man where, okay, the secret identity really is important and Tobey Maguire can't keep a mask on his face to save his life. But
can they see me now? Look at me. I'm Spider-Man.
Yeah. Hold on. I think I got something in my eye. Here, let me take my mask off. No. You all know who I am now.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, man. Movies. We can't ever do those.
Stunt driver who's riding around on a motorcycle mysteriously when he returns home. So does the Ghost Rider.
Same
jacket.
if you've seen the carnival, it's like, oh, that guy must be the guy from the carnival that we saw riding the same motorcycle or in the same jacket.
By the way, Facebook is lighting up. I know who that is. It's Johnny Blaze.
If we haven't made it clear enough, I do think that Sam Elliott elevates all of it. And it should just be in more of it. And that guy's great.
He's such a good straight man. I couldn't think of anybody more. Have you ever seen him get excited? I mean, like.
I'm excited right now.
I
love that his character's name is the ultimate comic book other character name, which is. Carter Slade.
Carter Slade. Yeah, I think the most excitable we've ever seen him here is either Roadhouse or what was the one where he was in the place where all the frogs took over?
The swamp one wasn't that called frogs
was it Frogtown. Something comes to Frogtown or something like that.
Welcome to Frogtown.
It was something like that.
Are you feeling froggy?
I don't remember the name, but yeah, like that's the most physical or movement based we ever see Sam Elliott. But
yeah,
he's just a national freaking treasure and should never die and should be here forever. And yeah, I love that guy. All right.
Speaking of awesome names, a piece of trivia that caught my attention was around the world record distance for motorcycle jumping. At the time, the film was portraying him was setting a world record. Actually, not long after the movie came out, another motorcycle stunt guy performed a distance that was even farther. But before then, the record was set by a guy named Trigger Gum.
Yeah. Trigger
Gum.
Well,
see, there you go. You can have a comic book name in real life.
I guess so. If you're jumping semis and stuff.
What's your profession choices, though, when your name is Trigger Gum, though? I mean,
it sounds like a brand of gum. You know what I mean? Right. What are you going to get? I'm going to get me some Trigger Gum.
It snaps in your mouth.
That's right. That's got real sugar in it. None of this pansy-wansy. By the way, go ahead.
Would have been a far better stunt, by the way, if those helicopters were turned at a 45-degree angle and had their blades spinning.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. Just tilted up barely. Oh, man.
Yep. He would have died no matter what. Moving the helicopters around, like, I don't understand what you're on about there. It's not any more impressive. He dies if he misses, right?
Well, the whole thing was he
knows he's not going to die. So, like, go really overboard with it. I'm just saying, like, they could have dangled some sharks from a crane. Like, who cares? Like,
Is that why he's eating the candy constantly? Because he just knows he can't die, so just do whatever.
Well, if you can trust the devil or whatever manifestation is supposed to be here, he says that no, that was all you, Johnny. That was all you, bruh.
Oh, yeah, he did tell him that, didn't he?
Yeah.
Hey, bruh. By the way, where can you get just Ghost Rider yellow and orange jelly beans?
And that's why I was curious.
Does he have somebody pick them all out?
Surely there's some trivia somewhere that tells us. I figured somebody would have found
it. Hey, Brian, it was on his rider. Get it? Because the brighter is two uses there.
Is that Iron Man colors? Is that what he's trying to?
Only the fiery ones.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. By the way, just confirmation, episode 125 of the show, which aired on July 29th, 2012 at 7:52 p.m., was frogs. It was just frogs. Just straight up frogs. Yeah.
Frogs, frogs, millions of frogs. There What's
is a,
happening?
There is a movie, something with Frog Town in it, but I don't know what that is.
There's Welcome to Dog Town.
Frog Town, hold on. Oh, Hell Comes to Frog Town, 1988. Oh,
there really is a Frog Town. Okay.
Yeah, Hell Comes to Frog Town. We should probably watch that at some point. It sounds real dumb.
What kind of trousers do they wear in Frog Town?
What kind of a deal? Hold on, I'm looking here. Not pants, it looks like.
Okay, all right.
Frog, well, I guess, you know, frog cargos. That's what it is.
Frog slacks.
Yeah, frog slacks. Anyway, Roddy Piper's in that. We should watch that. Hell Comes Frog Town. We should totally do that.
I hear he's rowdy.
He is rowdy Roddy. All right, it's clips. I have many. You want to hear them?
Yes.
Yes.
All right, great.
Is there any better than We Are Legion?
Yep, we get to hear that one again. We'll get to
play that. So good. I hope you play that again.
Oh, absolutely. Are you kidding me? We would be insensitive to our audience's needs if we didn't play that again. You guys like movies, or else why would you be listening to this show, right? Well, I got some good news for you. There's another great show you can check out that was maybe even inspired a little bit by us. That's Totally Awesome Films. It's a podcast by a longtime fan of film tech, John Chung. Been there since 2010. That's a long time to be listening to us. Tell me, I can tell you that. I mean, that's only a year after we started. It's crazy. He was so inspired by the show that in 2013, which is now his own, that's long running too, started his own show. He calls it Totally Awesome Films. Each week, John picks a movie, gives his review of the film, and then explains all the obscure references and Easter eggs that you may have missed on your first viewing of the film. We barely touch on that stuff. I'm going to have to check this out because I want to know more. You'll learn the story of how a movie got made, plus cool behind-the-scenes trivia, stuff you never realized you needed to know. After listening to his podcast, you'll definitely want to watch the movie again. The podcast is Totally Awesome Films, available on Apple Podcasts, Android, Stitcher, or wherever you might get your podcasts. That's Totally Awesome Films. Go check those guys out. You're going to love it. All right, so here they are. I will say this real quick. It is the most GIF-able movie I've ever seen. I made more GIFs for this than I have any film sack movie in history, so it has that honor now, I guess, of a full page of GIFs. Anyway, here's Johnny Blaze at the beginning.
Johnny Blaze.
Oh, no, that's the devil saying Johnny Blaze.
Johnny Blaze.
There you go. Well done, Peter Fonda. You've really come a long way. All right.
He was a good devil.
And, yeah, he was all right.
And he was so good that I was just like, oh, you're not going to do a deal with him. Like, you're going to, I don't care who you are, you're going to know to not do a deal with him.
Because he's the devil. That same year, he was amazing in 310 to Yuma. Real good in that. And it made me wonder, though, did Peter Fonda ever have cool hair ever? Has he ever had good hair? No. The answer is no. Just letting you know now. Peter Fonda, no good hair. All right.
No good.
Here's a bad cry. All right. There's that.
Wow.
You say it's a bad cry.
That is a bad cry. Wow. Yeah.
Not good. Here's something about living in fear.
You can't live in fear. You can't live in fear.
Yeah, I forgot about his daily affirmations he was always doing in the mirror.
Yeah.
That's good stuff.
It's not good. I'm like, that makes me want to go live in fear. I don't.
Yeah, me too. All right, this line made me laugh.
I got a hunting dog named Lucky. He's got one eye and no nuts.
That's pretty great. I wanted to know more about what happened to Lucky the dog.
I think he might be misnamed.
Yeah.
He's got one eye and no nuts.
You should call him One-Eyed No Nuts.
No Nuts.
Or just No Nuts. I like that. Here's another line that made me laugh.
No, I don't want none of your stupid candy.
He's like, you just call it stupid candy.
That was a great line. You need to keep that one. Play again.
He may have been the best thing in there.
No, I don't want none of your stupid candy.
He's just funny.
Yeah.
So did you clip every line by Donald Logue?
No, not all of them, but a bunch of them. Here's one. I think this may be him, too.
You touch the Carpenters or that chimp video again, and we got a scrap in our hands.
This chump is nuts.
We got a scrap on our
hands.
Oh,
yeah, that whole Carpenters thing. Jeez.
I love the Carpenters.
So that was interesting, I thought, because I kept trying to imagine what the inner monologue, what his inner soundtrack was versus the outside world soundtrack. Because everything outside was rock and roll, you know, what was it, like AC/DC, ZZ Top, kind of stuff, and then on the inside it was all Carpenters.
Yeah, it's just such a ham-fisted way to like make the character, try to make the character more interesting, that he doesn't like the kind of heavy metal that you'd expect a motorcycle rider to like.
He likes jelly beans
and and he likes funny videos of monkeys punching dudes, and you know.
Yeah.
What was his problem with the chimpanzee thing? He was really wanting to see that show.
Yeah, he was really pointing at, he would point at the screen. Like, no one does that. Have you ever seen anybody who really enjoys what they're watching on TV? Do they go, and point at it? Like, you got a problem.
There was a lot of pointing. And at first I thought, is this Nicolas Cage being Nicolas Cage? But they actually had the younger Johnny Blaze do those stances where he's pointing. I was trying to remember if Ghost Rider did that a lot in the comics.
I think that is when he would pass judgment in the comics. He would do this thing where he'd look at the victim or the perpetrator and then pass his, innocent or whatever.
Look into my eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That stuff's
and
cool.
Then stare.
I dig that kind of thing. All right. Here's how, let's see. This is quite stilted is what I wrote. This is quite stilted I wrote on this.
Stilted on channel.
Yes. Listen to this.
Johnny Blaze, thank you for talking to us before your big jump. No one has ever attempted such a distance before.
Okay. You're not a news person. Don't go home.
No, yeah. That sounded like a teenager on the high school TV.
Yeah, totally, dude. Oh, you know what bums me out? We were right. Ibbett and I were right on the cusp of that being a thing. Like, right before, or right as I graduated high school was when they started talking about doing closed circuit, like, morning TV with a bunch of students. And then it became the standard, and, like, my kids were super into it. And I was always a little bummed by that. Like, man, couldn't you figure that out in the 80s? Let's get that going.
Yeah, so in my high school at the time, the deal was that we recorded it first thing in the morning, and so it was a before-school activity. You had to get there at, like, 6:30, and they would start recording at 7. And then after it was recorded, there was practically no editing, and a VHS tape was walked to the principal's office. Because the VCR that hooked into all the TVs was in the principal's office. So there were two lockable doors between the students and that VCR, basically, was the whole point.
Wow.
And you would walk the VHS tape from the little studio, which was not a studio, it was a freaking converted closet, and you would walk it over to the principal's office, and the principal would then watch it privately and then play it for the whole school right after everybody had done the Pledge of Allegiance, which is a weird ritual.
Why would you watch it privately? Why?
To make sure that he wasn't being pranked.
Okay. But couldn't he do that with other people in the room? Like, couldn't they be around and just say,
sure,
oh.
Yes. I'm just saying he would not play. And our principal in my high school was Mr. Tumberlinson, and he was a beast. That guy was scary, scary. Mm. And so, like, I'm, the point is not the thing about watching it privately. The point is there was a VCR in the principal's office, and it was hooked up to all the TVs in the school.
But it basically required two FBI agents to turn the key at the same time to be able to access. Yeah.
I think he was masturbating vigorously to it. That's what I think was happening. This privacy thing is weirding me out. All right, let's do, this is, here's some good old-fashioned Southern talk from Nicolas Cage.
Let's get some dinner. You still like Italian?
You still like Italian?
Italian.
Italian.
I hate that. That's so late. That's lazy. I hate it.
Yeah.
Everyone's getting retired.
I will retire him just like I will retire you.
Okay. He sucked, dude. He was bad. He may be the worst bad guy we've had on the show. I'm just going to put it out there. I'm sure somebody else we can think of that's worse, but he is bad.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And not in a good way.
No, not good, bad, but bad, bad.
Here the skull finally speaks.
You're going down.
All right. There's that. Is Christian Bale waking up in the morning?
But that was right after he started being able to do full senses. But like at the first time, it's like, look my eyes.
Innocent.
Step here.
He was getting used to the controls.
At this stage, he's doing at least I'm not wearing hockey pads kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, good point. I don't know if I like the spikes or not. They're very 70s and very comic, but I don't know. It looked weird.
Oh, I
like it for this movie.
I want to say that was added to later Ghost Rider too. I don't think the original 70s comic had spikes. I figured they said, well, this flaming skull and the chain probably enough for this guy. He doesn't need to, have any sort of more menacing things. And then they added the spikes like in the 90s.
They went all out on this bike. in this thing.
Yes.
That, when it transformed, like, that was totally.
Oh, the bike is cool. Yeah.
I love the spikes. I am old enough that one of my childhood crossovers was the Road Warriors in WWF. Love the spikes.
That was almost a drinkable moment right there.
It almost was. So I will not say Mad Max Fury Road. Oh, shoot.
Take your
time. I've done it. All right, here's a bonehead joke.
Morning, bonehead.
There you go. Morning, bonehead.
Bonehead.
I'm going to put that's my new alarm in the morning.
Morning,
by the way, I just want to put a disclaimer on what I previously said. I was not making the case that professional wrestling is only for children. Please
don't. Yeah, keep your emails to yourselves.
Save your emails.
Yeah. I didn't even hear that, but okay.
By the way, gross moment. Here's my pick for the gross moment.
Oh, yeah.
It is this. Whoops. Skip down here. Hold on. Here we go. This is Sam Elliott spitting. It's gross. Don't do that.
Ew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Listen to that. Wow. That's horrible.
That is
it's
horrible.
Way more gross in this replay than it was watching.
I know.
Did you add something to that?
Well, he did it. It was when he was silhouetted by the sun, so he was super blotted out, and then he turns to the left and just horks the worst-looking brown, nasty liquid out, and it hits the ground. Ugh.
Oh,
it's gross. God. Gross. All right, here's a seriously cagey moment I wrote.
Yeah, I'm good. I feel like my skull's on fire, but I'm good. Thanks for the water. Have you seen my bike?
He's just so cagey.
I feel like my skull's on fire.
How come he never got asked to be Elvis in anything? Well, I guess he kind of did
what?
In that Vegas
movie.
He did.
He's like been Elvis four or five times. Like, Honeymoon in Vegas, he's practically an Elvis with the flying Elvis.
Yeah, but he never played Elvis in like a biopic or something, right?
Oh, not... But his Wild at Heart character is basically Elvis.
Oh yeah, totally. Yeah, totally. The Leaving Las Vegas, or no? What's the one where it's what's the comedy that's in Vegas? What's that?
Honeymoon in Vegas.
Honeymoon in Vegas is all about Elvis impersonators, right? Like
that's the one with the red on air light in that movie.
Oh, did you already talk about this?
That was the first thing I mentioned. Yeah, he's like in Honeymoon in Vegas with the parachuting Elvis impersonators.
Man, only TMS listeners know what we're talking about. All right.
Right.
Here is a what? Oh, it's like rain on your wedding day.
Ironic.
All right.
Like a black fly in your Chardonnay.
In your Chardonnay. Oh, well, I would pay for him to make a cover of that song. That'd be amazing.
Yeah, we could probably deep fake one pretty easily.
It'd be, isn't it
ironic?
Don't you think? All right, off the record. Oh, I like this. This cop talking to her when she was reporting the murder.
Off the record? Piss off.
Piss off. this is Rebel Wilson.
It was all flames and stuff.
Okay.
You could hear her British accent in a little place where she's trying to hide her British accent.
It was all flames and stuff.
Yeah, a little bit. I thought she was Australian. Do I have that wrong?
Oh, maybe Australian, yeah.
I always mix those up. I mean, they are the Queen's prison colony, so.
Yes.
It fits. All right. Cage going blah, blah, blah. Here you go. Oh, yeah.
Actually made me laugh.
Confirmed Australian, yes.
Oh, this is Australia, okay.
Yes, she is Australian.
All good things come out of Australia. I like Rebel Wilson. I think she's nice.
I do too.
Yeah. She seems funny.
Don't lose weight or you'll never get another job in movies.
No. Nope. Don't go to the doctor. You don't
want to. Listen to Ibbit. Lose weight all you want.
Yeah, lose all you want. Yeah, like that.
Not that way though. No. That's bad.
No, that's bad.
I think he always makes a bad sound in every movie. I think there's always a spot where he makes a bad sound.
Yeah.
It's in my contract.
Yeah. No, you're like, face, oh, like, I'm cast or try. There's so many examples.
Piss blood.
Yeah. Piss blood. Yeah. You're right.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. What is it in The Rock?
It's put the baby back in the basket for the bunny back in the box, whatever.
Bees, why did it have to be bees?
You know what, Brian? There may be another movie. A movie
where he says baby in a basket.
Yeah, there may be. You don't know. He's made a lot.
No, yeah, exactly.
What is it in? There's something in The Rock he does that annoys me every time. It might be when his wife and him are having sex on the roof when he gets the call. He has to go take care of the thing and he goes, I don't want to answer the phone or something like that. And he's like thrusting with it. It's no good, man. It's no good.
Right.
Don't want to know where your willy is. All right, check this out. This is a great BS. I like when there's one in the movie I can keep forever.
Bullshit.
It's a good one. It's a good one. It's good. Hold on to that.
That guy was scary.
Bullshit.
He was scary. He was either saying piss off or bullshit. Here's somebody. What? Oh, they thought he was, when he was about to transform, they thought he was tripping out.
Looks like somebody's tripping out.
Somebody tripping out in this hair prison cell. Woo-hoo!
Oh my gosh, were those not the most over the top prison people? I mean, they they put him in like the worst, and it's not even a prison. It's just like jail, right? It's just like general lockup. But those are like the hardcore Texas prisons you ever seen.
Yeah, I like the origin story though, that he got his best jacket off of just some dude in there.
Yeah,
right. Yes,
that was pretty good.
That looks like I'm gonna take that jacket.
I'm gonna have your jacket.
All right, check this out. This is just one more of these.
My name is Legion.
Yeah, great.
Both stupid, but kind of creepy. That's the kind of stupid that 2 in the afternoon you go, that's stupid. Nope. But 2 in the morning is the kind you go, oh, crap.
Yeah, you're half right. Yeah,
you're half right. Stupid. You're half right. Right.
No, I think, I'm telling you, watch that at 2 in the morning by yourself.
Scary of like, Legion.
Yeah, it's the wrong emphasis, right? He really.
My name is Legion.
It's the Lee part.
Yeah, totally. Yes, we need something that a lot of people can all say at the same time to make it sound like there's all these souls in his body. I know. We'll just slow him down saying my name is Legion. And say it slower.
The worst part of it is he doesn't say it to anyone. He's saying it to himself. It's like, well, you don't need to announce yourself. Right. I get it. You just sucked in a million souls. I get it. You're good.
Did you have the name thought of before all the souls, or did one of the souls come up with the name and you all agreed on it?
Or is there a lady out front with a baton that's now in front of all the souls in your body that's going, okay, this is the
one,
big chance we're waiting
two,
for.
Three.
Yeah, like, what is this?
It would be kind of hard to line up Legion, like us all say Legion at the same time. It would be
I
hard.
Bet we could do it. Ready?
Even
one,
on Skype.
Two, okay, three. Legion. All right, there's lag. There's like Discord lag.
Yeah, Discord lag doesn't count.
You can fix that in post, right, Scott?
Of course I can. Now this. Oh, looky here. It's the film sack checklist. No way that's his real hair. Check. Water guy is the coolest. I like that guy. We didn't talk about them very much, but I like the bad dudes, the group. What were they called? They were called something.
The henchmen, like the.
Yeah.
The elemental henchmen guys.
Smoke guy, dust guy, and
water guy.
Did you say
water guy?
Yeah. Elemental. Well, because one of them was water and one of them was. Air.
I like that I've heard Hellamentals.
Oh, Hellamentals!
Ooh, Hellamentals. Mm-hmm. Wow, if that isn't the name for them, then...
Right, that should be.
It's a new segment on TMS when Nicole quits. Call it Hellamentals and just recommend movies about
Hellamentals.
I like that a lot. All right, Water Guy is the coolest. I got that one to see. Oh, Firebolt. When he was picking up his dirt with his own fire on it and throwing it, it was cracking me up. It's like throwing your own poo. It was good.
It was like a poo. And he likes chimpanzees. I bet that's why he did it.
Maybe it was his poo. He got
thrown
hard.
Because we're just like monkeys.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe he crapped himself when he got chucked that hard and then just picked up his flaming poo and threw it. I don't know. I don't make these movies. I don't know what's going on. All right, Trek Connection. We got one from Daryl. Thanks for sending this in, Daryl. Brett Cullen, he played Barton Blaze, so the dad. On Deep Space Nine, he played Daryl in the third season episode, Meridian. Daryl spelled D-E-R-A-L, so less of a your friend Daryl and more of a space
feels
name.
Feels like Daryl was waiting for it. It feels like Trek Nerd, this is the one he's been waiting for his whole life.
Yeah,
that guy was named by Donal Logue's parents.
Ah, yes, Donut Loger. Logie. All right, then you got your soundtrack grade. I'm going to give it an A for adequate. It's fine. It does the job. It doesn't do any more than that. It just kind of gets the job done, and it's fine. It's okay. I don't know who did it, but it's fine. Twitter post. You guys sum this thing up in 280 characters or less. That is the tradition anyway, so let's see if it holds. Let's start with Randy.
Ghost Rider. Scary emo dudes just show up from out of nowhere to insult you while you're trying to seal the deal with your childhood crush and... She's playing hard to get, but now you got to fight a bunch of dudes, just like Saturday Night at Ibiza.
Saw that coming up Main Street. Nicely done.
Yeah, it's all right. Happy with it.
Yeah, it was good. Brian Dunaway.
Oh, Ghost Rider. I'm going to own this curse and watch it again. This is how legends are born. Hashtag Hellamentals.
Did you end up watching it again? Because I know, so the behind the scenes, we had a week bump where we were supposed to do this last week and we couldn't because of me, I had a weird schedule thing. So here we are doing it a week later. Did anybody try to catch it again just to, because they wanted to?
I watched the movie clips on YouTube, like picking the 10 best scenes from the movie. I watched that this morning just as kind of a little refresher.
Yeah.
I did the same thing. I watched all kinds of YouTube videos, but I couldn't. I thought I was going to watch it a second time, like with the fast forward button ready. And I just never got around to it. It's fine.
I just put my headphones on and hunkered down and got me some popcorn and some drink and said, time for my summer movie.
Nice.
Do you own the Blu-ray double pack of this in Spirit of Vengeance?
I do not. I do have Spirit of Vengeance on 3D, but I do not have the first one on any Blu-ray.
It's digital.
Yeah, it's in 3D. So it makes it good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That makes it good.
Duh. That's what makes it tasty.
Oh man, I love that.
So
you,
it looks like the crap is flying out at you.
That's why I love Dunaway. It is a childlike appreciation and love for all things cinema, even when they're bad. It's great. I love it.
Right. Well, it this really reaches the 8-year old me. And if I sent you guys an article I had read on MTV, and they had talked to Nicolas Cage and talked about what he wanted his character to do and how he wanted it to appeal to, you know, basically 8-year olds. And I take it for what it is.
Yeah. One thing we forgot to mention, by the way, Mark Steven Johnson, who directed this, my brother's name is Mark Johnson. That's not what I was going to tell you though. He directed a really weird directing list. He made a movie called, he made Grumpy Old Men, which everyone may have or may not have seen. But he also, just like a few years before this, 4 years before this, did the Daredevil movie, which in 2003, I liked the Daredevil movie. I don't know that it holds up, and maybe we should do it on the show.
Well, I think we need to watch it for film sec to see if it holds up, because I saw it at the Dollar Theater and thought, yeah, all right, I feel like I got my money's worth.
Right. I paid it right,
man. It's about right.
I don't know. I don't know why that I liked it, but I did at the time, but I haven't seen it since, so I'm willing to see. He also did that Finding Steve McQueen thing a couple of years ago or a year ago, which I think was a mixed bag.
I didn't like or dislike Elektra or Daredevil. It was kind of like, if it's on, I'll watch it.
I don't think I've seen Elektra.
I have not seen
Elektra. I think I actually may like Elektra a little bit better, just barely.
Did she at any point during the movie say, what's in your wallet?
No. I don't remember that. I don't remember that part.
Nope.
But I do. I'm looking now.
You know, I always wonder if it was possible for a dimple to continue to work its way into someone's skull. And I think I've come to the conclusion that it actually is possible with enough time. And that's all I'll say.
Hey, Scott.
Yeah.
I have a Twitter post.
Oh, hey, let's
get
to you.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
Hey, look.
I was wondering if we were going to make our way back.
We were going to get back to it. But now let's do it. Brian Ibbett.
Ghost Rider.
Sometimes you eat the bar, and sometimes the devil turns you into a spitting flame-covered visage of revenge.
Just like a Night of its Halloween.
Just like a Saturday Night. It's like you were waiting for more. No, that's all I have.
No, it's good. It was good. No, it's just there was a dangling participle at the end, and I just was concerned. all right. Well done. I love it. Oh, look at this. This is brand new. Just handed to me. This was almost called two different alternate titles. This one was almost called Don't Give Up Now. Together with me and my baby, break these chains of love. It was almost called that. Mm. Yeah, wow. That's a lot like lyrics to a song.
Said, no, you can't use that as a film title.
Yeah, they were mad. And then Face Off. Because, you know, he takes his face off because he's a...
He does.
Was there was a third title I thought I heard about, which was Weekend at Bernie's.
Oh, nice. Nice. I like that a lot. Well done. all right. Hey, I got an email here from Sean Wolford, who... the name Wolford always sounds like a place you'd go shop in some old-timey town.
You know, let's go to Wolford's and pick up some slacks.
It's probably because it's a lot like Woodward.
Sansibelt slacks.
Yeah. Nice. Anyway, says Scott, Brian, and Randy, I just wanted to share a quick inside story about the whole Chinese film situation you kept referring to in the Skip Trace episode, which is just last week. So this is a fresh email. Says, I'm a writer, and I had a screenplay that was making some buzz around a few studios. After a few false starts, we finally got approved, and we're closing a deal with Ron Howard and his Imagine Entertainment group. Oh, nice. As contracts were being finalized, I received word that they wanted to make a few changes in order to appease some of the new Chinese financiers that they had added. Here's the issue. The script was centered around a Kiss-style heavy metal makeup to rock band and their 30 years in the industry. The main change was that they wanted it to be about a K-pop-style boy band breaking into the industry. Basically, the entire basis for my story was being changed.
Oh my God.
He says it's like buying the script for the Terminator, but replacing Schwarzenegger with a pig from Babe. right. Says we never found a happy medium, so the deal was eventually canceled. Love the show. Keep up the great work, Sean. I love stories like this.
Yeah.
And I think he's not the first to say it too. I got some other emails from people not as closely tied to the industry, which is why I read his, but talking about how the financiers, the 10 cents of the world, they aren't used to maybe a more modern Hollywood sensibility, which is give the filmmaker some space and make them do their vision. They are more used to dictating what you're going to do. And so
so how much is that? I'm not really familiar with it very intimately, but I kind of know a little bit. So is that government funded?
Some of it is like if you have a company over there, you have to. Oh, what's right. the? I forgot the deal. There's a specific kind of deal. What kind of a deal?
What kind of a deal?
I forget what it is, but video game companies and others, they have to adhere to this rule, and you can't just go over there and just have a video game company. You have to do something that's like government approved, and I forget. But some of that may be that. It could be content in that regard, but in this particular case, it sounds more like they're just like, well, we have idea. What if it was a band of Korean K-pop boys? Like, that's just a terrible idea.
I'm glad that your impression wasn't too offensive.
Oh, yeah, I didn't go all the way.
They had, like, flavors.
Yeah, I didn't go all the way. Yeah. But the point is, like, imagine, like, what I see this as is just a culture thing. Because over there, a KISS-style band makes no sense to them. Like, what is that even? What are you talking about? Mm-hmm. It would only play here, really, or maybe Europe.
Yeah, and you can't blame them because, I mean, they'd want to show it there. Because that's where they would make their money. Because, man, I mean, the Chinese market for movies that's money. Yes. That's real money.
It's real money. So I don't know. I don't exactly like this trend, but I think it's inevitable. So welcome our new overlords. Everybody.
I agree with you, but I would, as an artist, I tip my hat at you for going, no, thank you for the money. We're going to do something else because I'm going to stick to my guns here.
Yeah.
This is not something I want to make.
And Sean, if you're listening to this, I assume he is. I'd love to hear about some of your other projects and any other stories you have. This stuff's great. I mean, anything you can tell us without getting in trouble, I guess, but I love that kind of stuff. It's funny, this week I've gotten two or three people I've talked to with like major insider information about a certain thing. I love getting that kind of stuff. I can't say anything about it other than this vagary that I'm saying now, but man, I love
it. We know you do, Scott. I know something that you don't know.
I want more tell-all books and documentaries about the gaming business. I want more of that stuff about film. I love that kind of stuff. Like I want to hear. I mean, part of it is I just watched that documentary Hearts of Darkness that's about what's it called? Apocalypse Now.
Apocalypse Now.
That was fascinating documentary. Really good, and I love that. So more of that, more insider stuff, man. I like it.
And I mean, there's a good reason why we have the term pulling a Johnson. Like Scott really enjoys knowing something that no one else knows.
Oh yeah, no, I love it. I love holding that information, not letting it out at all, like just being a wiener about it. It's my favorite thing.
Speaking of pulling a Johnson, last Sunday Scott just tweeted, got something new coming tomorrow, and it was so epic. Yeah. Oh man, I loved it.
It was a fun launch.
Oh yeah, a good 18 hours later, we get Fred and Can. And it's
yeah.
If you're listening to this, you're like Fred and Can. No, literally, it's about a guy named Fred and his sentient can of creamed corn that is expired, by the way. That's it. That's the premise. So go check it out. FredCanComic.com and see if you like it. I have a new one going up tomorrow. Good. Very excited.
Good stuff.
Tomorrow's a good one. It may hit home for a lot of people. If you've ever had a scam call, you'll enjoy it. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Hey, Scott, did you know that this Spirit of Vengeance, this Ghost Rider, is from the guys that brought you Crank? Maybe that's why I kind of dug it, because it was kind of like, it was just off. Crank was a little bit too much for me, but for some reason, putting that together with Nicolas Cage seemed to work better for me.
That's not the other Nicolas Cage got a drive thing, right? I guess that was probably called Drive.
No, Crank.
Well, that's what he's got to keep. He's got to keep his adrenaline.
And that's not Nick Cage at all.
That's not Cage. That's Jason Statham.
Statham. Right.
Yeah, Ghost Rider Spirit of Vengeance was 2011, and the directors are Mark Nevedine and Brian Taylor.
Right.
Who I get? Oh, you're right. They're all over the crank.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. All over the crank. They're all over the crank. Speaking of the crank.
Well said.
Yeah.
By the way, I'm going to keep framing this Ghost Rider Spirit of Vengeance for you. A frequently bought together would be this and then a couple of Blu-ray copies of the Fantastic Four, the first one, and the two, The Rise of the Silver Surfer. So, winner.
Yeah.
There you go. Nice. Appropriately grouped.
Yep.
Right.
Well recommended, Amazon. Yeah.
Well done. Well done indeed. All right. That is going to do it for the show. Oh, no. Next week, we're watching Dragonheart. So finally, yeah. Finally, you guys.
And that'll do it for the show.
They have been asking for years for us to do this movie. It's finally available. And not only that, as Randy points out, there are like five of these on Netflix, like all these weird sequels. We're going to start with the first one. Whether we do more, I don't know. But next week, Dragonheart. That's the one with Sean Connery as the voice of the dragon. And isn't that who's the other? Who's the main dude? Oh, it's Quaid. Dennis Quaid, right?
Quaid.
Wrong movie. Anyway, so that's a thing. And we're looking forward to it. Then Inception after that. It's going to be a great couple of weeks. I'm very excited about it. So come on back for that, everybody.
I'm going to start watching Inception now. Not like a 3-hour movie.
It's pretty long.
It's a movie within a movie.
Yeah.
Right.
I love that movie.
Within another movie and another movie.
It's my favorite Christopher Nolan movie, so this is going to be a real test to see if it holds up, because I have not watched it in about 2 years, so we'll see how it goes.
I love watching favorites on Film Sack.
Mm-hmm. Like, I do, too.
Blade Runner.
Unless they don't hold up, and then I'm sad.
Yeah, then you're sad.
Yeah. Seriously, Blade Runner just came back on streaming. Mm-hmm. Like, you can watch it right now on Netflix, and then you can go listen to Film Sack 287. And it's just like, it's great to hear the talk about people's favorite movies.
And by the way, fun side note, there are only two movies in the, speaking of somebody named Blade, we have two movies in the history of Film Sack with the word Blade in it. Who knows what they are? It's too easy.
Well, I just named Blade.
You named Blade.
Blade Runner and Blade.
Blade 2. See, I got you guys. I got Blade you with the technicality. Technicality. All right. Anyway, that's Dragonheart.
Mortal Kombat Attack.
Yeah.
Technicality.
Technicality. That'd be amazing. All right. Johnson anyway,
wins.
Dragonheart is next week. So be here for that. Filmsack.com. In the meantime, that's where all our stuff is. So if you need looking for anything, you can find it there. Look to send us your voicemails at 801-471-0462. You can email us filmsack@gmail.com. That's filmsack@gmail.com. Be like Sean Wolford and send us your thoughts and feelings. We're on Twitter @filmsack. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Brian, and for Randy.
Legion.
We'll see you next time.
Hoping you were going to do that.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
He's got one eye and no nuts.
There you go.
Better than the other way.